John chapter 14, and look at verse number 15. Jesus talking. I love John 14 and 15. I memorized them when I think I was in 10th grade in high school, and it was for a teen youth rally. We had a Bible drill or something like that, so I memorized these. Several kids in our school did. Ever since then, there have been special verses to me because of that. But John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus is talking. He's talking to his disciples. Verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Skip down to verse number 23. We'll look at verse 22 because there's the question. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which said to me. I'm going to give you four goals. The first goal is very simple. Why have personal biblical standards? Goal number one, to obey everything God plainly commands me to do. Wouldn't you agree that it would be a good idea to obey what God plainly commands? If you go to the Ten Commandments, I just read through those in my Bible reading. You've got some very clear statements, some very clear commands. For example, thou shalt not kill. We know that it is wrong to murder because God had said right there, thou shalt not kill. That's a command. We understand, Brother Jim mentioned it tonight when he was praying. We understand that there is a command to tithe, and that is the command to give 10% of our increase to God. And like he said, I don't understand why God chose 10%, but God chose 10%, and that's a clear command. So goal number one in having personal biblical standards is to obey everything God plainly commands me to do. So there are some things that I can say, God says it in the Scriptures, it's a command of God, so because it's a command of God, I will either do it or not do it. That's my standard. This is my rule for myself. So God says, thou shalt not kill. This is actually a pretty easy standard. Now, he's not talking about killing in self-defense, and he's not even talking about killing as a way to defend one's freedom or country. We understand that through the rest of the Scriptures in context there. But he is talking about killing someone who's innocent. So the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. God plainly commands that. So I know my rule for myself, I know it's going to be hard to believe, is I'm not going to kill anybody. All right? It's a good rule. You ought to make this a rule in your life as well. No murdering. All right? Okay, so that's kind of an extreme one. Whenever we get to something like tithing, and we'll get to that here in a little bit, we'll read a scripture about it, but God commands it. So if God commands it, then my standard is, I'm going to do it. These are fairly easy standards for me to decide on. If God says it, then I'm going to do it. In our family, we defined obedience this way. Obedience is, you ready? To obey right away with a good attitude. That's what I'm trying to do right here. I want to obey. If the Scripture says to do something, I want to do it. And I want to do it right away. I want to do it with a good attitude. That means I'm not arguing and I'm not stalling. I'm just going to obey. Goal number one, to obey everything God plainly commands me to do. Why? First of all, because obedience demonstrates my love for God. So God commanded me to obey His commandments, right? I understand that. And so if that was the only reason for obeying God, that'd be a good enough reason because God said to do it. But there's more, because obedience demonstrates my love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you want to know how to show Jesus you love him? Obey him. It's very simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then the other verse that we read, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And then the next verse, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So why should I obey everything that God plainly commands me to do? Well, simply because I love God. And I want to show him that I love him. Kids, you know a great way to show your parents that you love them? Obey them. Obey them right away with a good attitude. Obey right away, good attitude. Those three things. If you will put those into your life as a kid, it's going to help you obey your parents. If you work for somebody, if you are an employee, these are great lessons. Obey right away with a great attitude. That'll help you. It'll help you to be promoted. It'll help you to accomplish what you're supposed to do. So I want to obey everything God plainly commands me to do, first of all, because my obedience demonstrates my love for God. But then there's more. I want to obey because Jesus said his friends are the people who do what he commands them to do. Look at chapter 15 and number 14. John chapter 15, verse number 14. Jesus just says it very plainly here. We'll look at it. We'll read it. We'll move right on. John 15, verse 14, Jesus says this, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Now that's tied in right there, verse number 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." There's another just plain commandment that we ought to obey. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Then he says that statement, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." I want to show Jesus that I want to be his friend, because Jesus said his friends are the people who do what he commands them to do. Let me give you an example. There's a man in the Bible named Abraham. Do you know what the Bible says Abraham was? He was called the friend of God. Abraham, the friend of God. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if God was talking to somebody else about you and he said your name and he said, for example, "Dave, the friend of God." Oh, wow, that would be amazing. Abraham, the friend of God. I would love for God to say, "I know that he is my friend. I believe Jesus is my friend. He proved that. But am I his friend? I can prove to him that I want to be his friend." Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do what I command you." Abraham, called the friend of God. And really, it's not a surprise when you think of all the ways Abraham obeyed God. Think about this. God said to Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to leave your hometown. I want you to leave your home, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you." Ladies, if your husband came to you and said, "Honey, we're moving," what's your next question? Either where or when? Jonathan said, "Why?" That's a good question right there. Why? What do they? Where, when, or where? Abraham, God told him, "Abraham, you're moving. I want you to pick up and I want you to go." And he said, "I'm not telling you where you're going, but when you get there, I'll let you know." And he did it. He picked up and he left and he obeyed. Abraham took his only son that had been promised to him for so many years, Isaac, and he took him up into that mountain and he offered him as that sacrifice. Now God stopped him before he actually killed Isaac. And he took the knife and he's getting ready to slay his own son because God had told him to do it. And then God stopped him and said, "No, Abraham, don't do it. Now I know that you will obey me no matter what I tell you to do." Whoa. He obeyed God. And then God says later that Abraham is called the friend of God. Wow. I want to obey everything God commands me to do because obedience demonstrates my love for God, because Jesus said his friends are the people who do what he commands them to do. Also, because God blesses people who obey him. This is a very clear teaching in Scripture, so turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, before you say, "Pastor, that's the Old Testament. That's Deuteronomy. I mean, come on, that's a long time ago." Let me remind you, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Old Testament. If it was good enough for Jesus to quote, I want to say, listen, we need to not ignore it just because it's Old Testament. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 26. We're not going to read a whole lot here, but I want you to see that God blesses people who obey him. Now listen, God loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And God's love is not determined by whether you obey him or not. God loves you no matter what. But God blesses based on whether you obey him or not. It's very clear right here, but all through the Scriptures you see God blesses the people that obey him. He removes his hand of blessing from people that don't obey him. I want you to see that because it's a very important principle for you to understand. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says this. This is God speaking through Moses to the people, the children of Israel. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God says this, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." You've got two things here. You can either have God's blessing or you can have this curse from God. I know which one I want. Look at verse number 27. "A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." That's pretty clear. I want God's blessing on my life. according to this verse, what do I need to do to have God's blessing on my life? Not God's love, not salvation, but God's blessing. How do I get? Well, I need to obey. And God said there's a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, we'll look at verse number 28, and so we don't have to turn back there later, but go ahead and look at verse number 28. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, I know God was talking to the children of Israel. I understand that this was not written directly to me. But I see the principle here, and I see that this is the way that God works with His people. He said, if you will obey me, I will bless you. If you will obey my commandments, I will bless you. If you disobey, there will be a curse. God blesses people who obey Him. Deuteronomy chapter 4, can you turn there? Then we'll come back to chapter 11 in just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I want you to see, God blesses the person who obeys Him, but God also blesses the family of the person who obeys Him. I'll give you an example of the opposite of that. Do you remember this? Are you turning to Deuteronomy chapter 4? Turn there. Do you remember the story of Achan in the Bible? We just read that this week. Jonathan and I read that this week. So you got a man named Achan. He sins, and because he sins, his entire family had to pay the consequences for his sin. Now, that's the opposite of what we're talking about, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 40. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. You obey God's command, God says, and He says, listen, I'm not just going to bless you, but I'm going to bless your children, and I'm going to prolong your days upon the earth. Well, these are great blessings for people that keep God's commandments. My goal, number one goal in developing personal standards is to help me keep God's commandments. If God said it, I want to make sure I obey it. If God said not to do it, I want to make sure I don't do it. And that's why I'm going to set some standards in my life, because I want to obey what God said to do and not do what God said not to do. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'll keep you turning. I'm going to try to keep moving quickly this evening. Deuteronomy 11, look at verse number 13. Not only does God bless the person who obeys Him, God blesses the family of the person who obeys Him, but I want you to see that God blesses the land of the person that obeys Him. I'm not a farmer. I can barely make a garden grow. But if you were a farmer, this would mean a whole lot to you. And I want you to understand, our country lives on the back of farmers. If farmers didn't succeed in our country, we'd have nothing to eat. This is a very important verse. We don't understand it so much because we get our food from Walmart or Smith's or wherever you get your food from. But understand this, our food, our land provides that for us. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. The principle here, God will bless the land of the person who obeys Him. This is very important to me because I want God's blessing on my life. I need God's blessing on my life. I want God to bless my children. I want God to bless my nation. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do what I can to obey the commands that God has given me. So I want to, goal number one, obey everything God plainly commands me to do, because obedience demonstrates my love for God. Because Jesus said His friends are the people who do what He commands them to do. Because God blesses people who obey Him, and because God curses people who disobey Him. I read that one verse to you, but let me read another. That was Deuteronomy 11, verse 28. You're already in chapter 11, so look at verse 28. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. We often use this passage talking about tithing. It's the scripture. Remember, scripture, principle, conviction, standards. It's the scripture where we get the principle of tithing from. And from that scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, I know it's a challenging one to find. If you're not there, I'm just going to start reading it. The Bible says this, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers, in tithes and offerings. The command is to give tithes and to give offerings to God. And then the next verse, God says this, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. I hope you understand the principle here. God blesses those who obey his commandments. And there's a curse for those who disobey God's commandments. I don't want to be a person who disobeys God's commands. There's a lot of commands in the scripture. I want to find them. I want to be able to know what those commands are so that I can live those commands. I want to make some guidelines for myself that help me to obey God's commands. Are you with me so far? We want to obey God's commands. Now, goal number two is similar but a little bit different. Goal number one, to obey God's commands. Goal number two, to please God in every way I can, regardless of whether or not I'm commanded to. Let me read that to you again. Goal number one is to obey God's command. Goal number two, to please God in every way I can, regardless of whether or not I am commanded. So there are some things that God clearly commands. God commands us to do some things. But you know, there's some things that aren't really straight out commands from God. You know that, right? If God doesn't command it, but I see in the scripture that it would please him, that's something I want to do. Because I want to please God. Let me give you some scriptures. I want you to think about this. I'm going to give these to you quick for the sake of time. I want to please God, goal number two, to please God in every way I can, regardless of whether or not I'm commanded. We're going to go in order of scripture verses, so help us to be able to find them quicker. So Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 is where we're going to start. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Yes, we're supposed to obey the commands of God. But if I could do what pleases God, wouldn't that be amazing? Parents, you understand this. If you have a child who obeys you, that is good. But if you have a child that wants to please you, oh, that's so much better. Because just getting obedience and they just do what they're told to do, and they just do what's on the list of chores, and they just do what you tell them to do. Nothing more, nothing less, just what you tell them to do. They're obeying. But what about a child that says, I want to please my parents. I want to do more than just obey. I want to look for ways to help. Maybe I could do something that'll make a difference for somebody else in our family. Maybe I can see something that mom does, and I could do that so that she doesn't have to do that. And you see a child that wants to please mom and dad. What a difference. Now, obeying is good, but pleasing, that's the child that I want to be to God. So, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. My goal number two, to please God in every way I can, regardless of whether or not I'm commanded. God, I want to do everything you tell me to do, but even if there are some things that he doesn't say specifically, thou must do this or thou must not do this, and I find out that that's something that would please God, I want to do it. Because God rewards people who please him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. God blesses that and rewards people who please him. Because I'm going to give you some, I'm just going to read these verses kind of quickly here, and you can turn there if you can. Next one's in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I want to please God. Why? Because Jesus, as my perfect example, pleased God. Jesus came, and as he lived his life on this earth, in John chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says, this is Jesus talking, and he says this, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for what a great verse, for I do always those things that please him. This is Jesus talking about his Father. He said, I do always those things that please him. Jesus came as my perfect example. He pleases God. I want to follow that example. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, we see pleasing God is more important than pleasing people. So I want to please God. Galatians 1, 10, the Bible says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I want to please God more than I want to please everybody else around me. And you know what? That's the challenge that most of us have. Do I please my friends? Or do I please God? Do I please the people that are around me, my friends at school, or do I please God? Do I please my coworkers? Or do I live to please God? And that's where we find the collision and we find the conflict in our life. Because our friends say, hey, come do this with us. But God says, thou shalt not, whatever that is, maybe. Or maybe it's not even a command. Maybe we just realize that's not something God wants me to do. Okay, for example, God does not say thou shalt not smoke. All right, so not in there. Thou shalt not do drugs. It's not in there. But I do see that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm supposed to take care of my body because that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not a direct command, but I see that it pleases God for me to take care of my body because it's His temple. It's where the Holy Ghost lives. And I see that that pleases Him. So my friends say, I won't come do this with us. Come on, let's go. Let's go smoke something. Let's go. I guess I'm mostly talking to teenagers. I think most adults, hopefully you've gotten to the point where your self-esteem is like, doesn't matter what your friends think about you. I hope we're at that point. But I know for teens, a lot of times our identity is wrapped up in what our friends think about us. And our friends say, hey, come smoke with us. Come do something dumb with us. They don't usually say it that way, do they? Come do something dumb with us, even though that's what they're talking about, right? And so we need to make this decision. Do I need to please my friends or do I want to please God? Pleasing God is more important than pleasing people. Goal number two, to please God in every way I can, regardless of whether I'm commanded to do it or not. Why? Because Scripture teaches us to please God abundantly. Let me read this to you. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, listen to this, so ye would abound more and more in our life. I ought to please God and not just please God, but I ought to abound in pleasing God. I have to please Him more today than I did yesterday and more tomorrow than I did today because I'm learning how to do that because God has chosen me to be a soldier. You may have this verse memorized. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Timothy 2:4, the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God has chosen you to serve Him. So I don't want to get tangled up in all the stuff in this life. Why? Because I want to please God. I want to please the God that has chosen me. Can you just stop and think about this for a minute? He chose you. Of all the billions of people in the world, God chose you. I love the song that's saying, He loves me like I was His only child. Can you just think for a minute? He chose you. And God wants you to serve Him. And if God wants you to serve Him, and if He chose you, wouldn't you want to please Him? Remember in junior high, or elementary school, maybe even high school, and they were picking teams for playing basketball or soccer or Red Rover or whatever it was that they were picking teams for. Didn't you want to get picked? Oh, I wanted to get picked. Anybody else stand on their tiptoes, look just a little bit taller so that you'd get picked? I remember standing out by the chain link fence out behind the kind of the back of the field. That's where we'd always line up to get picked for kickball. I remember standing out there and wanting to be picked. And sometimes I'd get picked kind of early. Sometimes I was one of the last ones to get picked. Oh, I hated being one of the last ones to get picked, but I was there, especially when you're one of the little guys. But once you get picked, don't you want to do everything you can to help your team and to help your team win, partly so that you get picked again next time, right? I want to please Him. They chose me. That captain of that team chose me. I'm going to do everything I can to help the team win. Somebody bigger than the captain of the team has chosen you. God has chosen you to be a soldier, to serve Him. So you should try to please Him. I want to please God. So I see from Scripture some ways that I can please God. So I'm going to develop some standards that help me to live my life in a way that pleases Him. Yeah, maybe God didn't specifically say not to do something, but I see in His Word that not doing something would please Him. So I'm going to make a standard for myself. Okay, so I don't want to do that. I'm going to make a rule for myself not to do some things so that I can please Him. Or maybe to do some things so that I can please Him. I want to do it because my testimony is important. The Bible is talking about Enoch, and it says before his translation, he had this testimony. Do you remember what his testimony was? Enoch's testimony? That he pleased God. Enoch's testimony. When people talked about Enoch, what would they say? Yeah, that's that guy that pleased God. People knew it. He had this testimony. He pleased God. Why else? Because I was created to please God. Revelation 4:11. I love this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory. This is what we're going to be saying to our Savior one day, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things. Listen to this. For thy pleasure they are and were created. God, everything you made was created for your pleasure. Did you realize that? Everything that God made was made for his pleasure. Not my pleasure, not your pleasure. You know those people, I'm sure there's nobody in here tonight, that they think the whole world revolves around them. You know what I'm talking about? It's all for me, it's about me. It's not. We were created for God's pleasure. If I can live to please God, oh, that would be so wonderful. Goal number one, to keep the commandments of God. Goal number two, to please God in every way I can, whether he commanded it or not. I just want to please him. And if I can set some standards in my life, some rules for myself, so that I can live to please God, I'm not setting it for somebody else. I'm not setting these standards so that I can look down at somebody else and say, you don't live like I live. I'm going to set these standards. Why? So I can please God. Goal number one, to keep his commands. Goal number two, to please God. Goal number three, we've got 8 minutes. Actually, 10 minutes. That clock is 2 minutes fast. Goal number three, to be wise and skillful in the word so that I harmonize all Bible principles applying to a given issue. Now, that was a mouthful, so I'm going to try to come back and hit this. There's a lot of principles in the Bible. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about different things. My third goal is to be wise and skillful in scriptures, familiar enough with the Bible and wise enough by experience with the Word of God, so that whenever there's a verse about this and another verse about this and another verse about this, I can take all those verses together and I can say, these are the things that I should do in that particular situation. I'm going to give you an example about how we talk, all right? How we use our mouth. The Bible has got a lot of verses about how to use our mouth. If I was just to open the Bible and find one verse about how to use my mouth and say, okay, that is what the Bible says about talking, and ignore everything else the Bible says about talking, I would be foolish. There's a lot of Bible verses that talk about the lips, talk about the mouth, that talk about the speech that we have. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Some of you have that memorized. If you don't, I want you to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. See if you can find that quick. A verse in the Bible that tells us to study. What are we supposed to study? The Word of God. But why are we supposed to study? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the scriptures so we can gain discernment. Discernment. Let me read goal three to you again. Why have personal standards? Goal number one, to keep God's commandments. Goal number two, to please God even whenever he doesn't command something. Goal number three, to be wise and skillful in the word so that I harmonize all Bible principles applying to a given issue. I was going to walk over to the piano and play a harmonic key, but I'm not really good at that. So you got several notes that work together to make a really good sound. I'm good at going to the piano and playing the notes that don't work together to make a really good sound. But they work together to make a great sound. You can play a chord and they'll sound good together. There are verses that work together. And God says, I want you to become familiar with the Word of God. I want you to study the Word of God so that you can have discernment, so that you can rightly divide the Word of truth. You can apply these verses to your life. Brother Adam or Brother Miles, are you ready to show that picture? Go and show us that picture. I want you to, this is a cool picture. I want you to see it. Isn't that a cool picture? All right, take it off. Go ahead and put the other screen back up there. All right. What did you see? Did anybody see horses? Raise your hand if you saw horses. I want to ask you this. How many horses did you see? All right? You probably didn't think I was going to ask you how many horses you saw. You're just like, oh, that's a pretty picture, right? How many horses did you see? Now, we know that there was a horse on there. You saw at least one. You probably saw a couple. Whenever we get to, I'll put it back up in just a second. Whenever we get to the scriptures, there's going to be more than just one scripture talking about our mouth. There's going to be another scripture over here. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, I've gone through there and done a study on Proverbs, and so many times, so many verses verses about what we should say, what we should not say, what we should be careful that comes out of our mouth, what we should be careful that comes out of other people's mouths. The Bible is loaded with principles. And what I need to do as a person, I need to say, I need to take all of these principles and be able to put some guidelines together that help me to know how to use my mouth. Go ahead and put the picture back up there again. We're going to see if we can find those horses. It's just going to be kind of fun, all right? If I had a little cool little laser pointer, it'd help. Okay, so you got one kind of in the front there, on the left. You got one behind his tail, kind of. You see that? Then you got a big one next to him there, so that's three horses. Did you see the little foal? Did you see the little one right here on the bottom? On the bottom right, can you see him? All right. Do you see the one in the middle that's just kind of putting his head down? Do you see that horse? So there's one, two, three, four, five. Did you see all those five horses? How many of you still haven't seen all five horses? All right, what's the point? There are so many principles in the Bible. My challenge to you, goal number three, to be wise and skillful in the Word so that I harmonize all the biblical principles to help me to learn what I'm supposed to do. Let me give you this example, and I'm going to have to do it kind of quickly just because we're running short on time here. Proverbs, if you want to turn to Proverbs, you can look at these. We're just going to look at, I'm going to give you seven real quick. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Froward means perverse, something twisted, something not right. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Okay, so we have this principle, so I know, don't talk about perverse things. Sometimes we'd use the word dirty to describe those. Don't talk about twisted things. Don't talk about things that are variant from what is right and what is good. So there's a principle there. So I need to put that, and I can say the Bible says that. Here's a principle. So I can build a standard not to talk about perverse things. And then we can, that'd be more of our conviction. And then we can come over here. We can talk about what are some perverse things not to talk about. Back when I was a kid, it was before the gay movement was quite so big as it was, people would call other people gay just as a joke. And I was instructed very clearly that that was not supposed to be part of my vocabulary. It's using perverse words, right? Now it's become more common and people use it a lot more in everyday talking, but I want to be careful not to talk about perverse things. Look at chapter 5, verse number 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb. That doesn't mean they're like big and fat. They try the Botox. It's like, whoops, messed up that one. No, that's not what we're talking about. They say lots of sweet things, okay? For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. There's a principle here. It has to do with mouth. Beware of flattery from immoral women. All right, beware of that flattery. I've told you the story how I went into Eddie Bauer to look for clothes, and I was looking for a shirt, and I ended up buying two shirts. Why? Because the sales lady there said, you would look really good in that, or that would look really good on you. And I took it big, and I bought two. And I was only going to buy one. And I bought the expensive one. Why? Flattery. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 31. What are we talking about here? We want to be able to look at the different verses in the Bible and harmonize them, all the ones that are talking about the same type of a subject, and be able to develop some standards to be able to live by based on not just what Jesus said about something, but what all the verses in the Bible say about something. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Let me just distill that to a very simple statement. You could come up with something similar. Good people talk about wise things. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. All right, look at verse chapter 11, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 9. It's talking about a hypocrite now. A hypocrite is an actor, says one thing in front of one audience and another thing in front of another audience. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So, simple principle, don't talk differently about someone when you're with them than when you're not with them. Some simple principles. So here's what we're doing. We're reading through the book of Proverbs, and we're seeing some verses that talk about our mouth, how we're supposed to talk. Goal number three has to do with taking all those verses, being skillful in the Word of God, so I could take those different verses, and I could apply all of those and say, okay, with what I know from the Bible, here's how I'm going to talk. Here's what I'm not going to say. Here's some things that I'm going to say. I got a couple more. Give them to you quick. Proverbs 21, verse number 23. Proverbs 21:23, just an illustration here. The Bible says, whoso keepeth his mouth, okay, keeping means guarding here. It's not like you're going to lose your mouth, right? You're guarding your mouth, guarding what you say out of your mouth. We're talking about words. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Here's a great principle. Don't say everything that you think. I mean, that's probably common sense, but, you know, common sense isn't really all that common sometimes. I've done this. You said something that you were thinking, and you think, oh, I wish I could take that back, like the second after you say it, right? Don't say everything that you think. So here's these principles. Let's learn. Let's gain wisdom from the Scripture so we can go to the Scriptures and get everything that we can find in the Scriptures about that topic and live that way. The last one, actually, there's two more. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Proverbs 27, 2. The Bible says this, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. Now, you can say that however you want to. I said it this way, don't brag about yourself. Don't brag about yourself. Nobody likes a person that brags about themselves. I mean, it's not about being liked, but do you understand that, how annoying that is? Proverbs 31, verse 8. Proverbs 31, verse 8, actually verses 8 and 9. Oh, there's so many more. I just wanted to give you this illustration. There's a lot of verses that talk about our mouth, so we need to look at those verses and be able to harmonize those, put those together and say, okay, because what the Bible says, here's how I'm going to live. Here's some guidelines for myself. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Open thy mouth for the dumb. Oh, the word dumb here is someone who can't talk. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Look at verse 9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. What are we supposed to do? Now, you got to understand the context, and this is very important as we're studying Scripture to know the context. This is written to the king. The king is one who's an authority. The king, in this case, was the one who was the judge of the land. So to the judge, it says, open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all as such are appointed to destruction. This person can't talk for themselves, and you are the one that's going to make the judgment for that person. You're the one that's in authority, so don't just keep your mouth closed. Open up your mouth, say something for that person. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Here's a simple principle that I got from that. People in authority should speak up for those who don't have a voice. All right, so you can take these principles. This is just an illustration. This is what I want you to do. This is what the Christian life, so much of it is about. It's getting into the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and learning, okay, this is what the Bible says about how I'm supposed to speak or not speak. So with what the Bible says, I'm going to develop some guidelines for myself about what I'm going to say and what I'm not going to say. Now remember, I told you this at the beginning of this series. My goal is not to tell you your standards. My goal is to challenge you to get into the Bible, to find the principles that the Bible teaches, to develop from that, develop what you believe, and then make some solid guidelines for yourself that says, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this. I gave you some principles here. Really, these are just an illustration, just an idea. There's so many topics in the Bible. None of us is ever going to get to the place on this earth where we say, okay, I got them all, I'm good. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet apprehended. I'm not there yet. None of us are going to get to the point where we say, okay, I'm there. But we're tempted to. So goal number four, and I'm going to give it to you real quick without a whole lot of backup. I'm just going to give you the goal. Goal number four, in having standards, in developing personal biblical standards. Let me make sure you're with me. Goal number one, to obey everything God plainly commanded. Goal number two, to please God in even in those areas where He didn't specifically command. Goal number three, to be wise and skillful in the Word of God so that I harmonize all the Bible principles applying to a given issue. And goal number four, to be gracious and kind toward others who do not choose to believe or live as I do. Not everybody is going to develop the same standards that you develop. Not everybody's going to have the same guidelines for their life. So my goal is to be gracious toward them, to be kind toward them. You know, there's a lot of people who don't believe like you believe. Everybody believes somewhat. We're all individuals. We all have our own individual tastes. Somewhere in life, somebody's going to disagree with your thoughts. And somewhere in life, somebody's going to disagree with some standards that you set for yourself. Now, they may be standards that you believe very strongly, but I want to challenge you to be gracious and kind toward others who do not choose to believe or live as I do. I'm not going to develop this a lot, but let me give you a couple of verses. Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. It's not my job to judge somebody else. They're God's servant. My job is what Ephesians 4:32 says. And be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do you think there's anybody more holy than God is holy? Do you think there's anybody who has a higher standard than God has? I don't think so. And even though God is so holy and so perfect, He is still so gracious and so kind to us. Colossians 3:12, the Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. What does He say to put on? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That means to be really patient with each other, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're going to spend some time developing some personal biblical standards. And as you do that, be patient with others. Be kind to others. Be gracious when somebody else doesn't have the same standard that you have. This is so important. Let's serve God. Let's please God. Let's obey God. And let's be gracious to others who aren't where we are. It took me a lifetime to get to where I believe these certain things. That's the same for all of us. It's taken our entire life to get to the point where we are. Okay, so that's actually kind of a dumb statement, right, when you stop and think about it. Of course it took our whole life. So why would I expect somebody else who's not had my exact journey and hasn't gone through the same things I've gone through to be exactly where I am? Let's be patient. Let's be gracious with someone else who's not exactly where we are. The opposite is pride. We didn't earn the favor of God by anything we did. Pride's a sin. You know, in fact, pride could be called the mother of all sins. And the battle against pride's a constant battle. So I just want to challenge you with those four goals. I want to obey God's command. I want to please God. I want to learn the Bible well enough to be able to harmonize what the Bible says about these topics. And I want to be gracious and I want to be kind to others who may not hold the same standard that I do. Father, I pray that You would use the message preached tonight. I pray that You'd help us to grow closer to You. Lord, I pray as we do that, we'd be gracious with others. We'd be patient with others. This life is a race. We understand it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's the entire course of our life, and it's taken us a lifetime to get where we are. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be patient with others. Lord, I pray that You'd give us a desire to obey You. Give us a desire to please You. Lord, I pray that You'd give us a desire to get into Your Word, to study it, not just as a textbook, but to study it as a way to live our lives to please You.